Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Wednesday morning. 9:14 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel today. And, oh, God, this is amazing. It's an embarrassment of riches today. What a great panel we have. A reporter from the Berkshire Eagle, Jen Smith, is here. Good morning.
Heyo. Good morning.
Heyo.
And then a rival journalist, Times Union columnist Chris Churchill, is here. Good morning.
Heyo.
Heyo. Also here today is a tetherless world professor of computer web and cognitive science at RPI, Jim Hendler. Good morning, sir.
Heyo.
Tetherless.
And Edward Hamilton is here today. That's really interesting. I see. Edward Hamilton, distinguished professor of computer science at RPI, recent electee to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, none other than Fran Berman here. Good morning.
Yay.
Oh, hey.
I see what you did there. And then, there's Alan. Good morning, Alan Chartok.
Wait a second. What do you mean, and then there's Alan, unquote?
Don't you think that would be a great, like, 50s-style TV show, like I Married Joan? And then there's Alan. And Arnold Stang could play Alan, right?
Did I ever tell you Arnold Stang came and ate dinner at our house?
Yes.
It was amazing. There he was.
Tell it again. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org if you want to join the fun here. Now, you know, the ground rules, they keep growing. But it's incumbent upon me to just let you know, try to keep the letters short, to the point, on topic. No abbreviations, no links. Don't just willy-nilly bang your hands on the keyboard. Proofread, by all means, one a day per customer. And remember, tone is tough, right?
Civility.
Sarcasm's tough in a printed word.
It is.
Leave it to the semi-professionals here on the radio, right?
Yes, of course.
Alan Chartok, before we get going with the topics today, we have a little thing I like to call Fun Drive starting on Monday.
Well, you know, to some, it's a joking around matter. To others, it's life or death. To me, it's life or death because of what this station represents and has always represented. It's the go-to place, and most people know it. And that's why we love you, and we love everybody who's put something in and everybody who's going to do something. So let me just say that we have now raised a total of $395,853 in the lockbox.
So we've raised $395,000, almost $396,000.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, it's not great. It's not great, and I wish you wouldn't say that.
Why is it not great?
Because it's not there yet. We need to get to $500,000. That's $100,000, $105,000 in 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Friday.
So what you're saying is you want to hit the halfway point in this lockbox before the on-air drive starts on Monday.
We have to, because that way maybe we'll spend one day on the fun drive. I think a lot of people don't remember 1980, 1979, 1981. We used to be on the air for 2 weeks. Until
How about
we raised
1999?
Yeah.
You know, it people, wasn't that long ago.
No. People hugging in the halls, Raymond,
yeah.
And crying and carrying on.
And day six got to be, that was ugly time. That's when people got nasty.
Running to see their analysts. I mean, all of that, all that kind of thing happened during that time.
Yeah.
So, but we've made it, and we've made it every time. So now, today is, we're coming down to the wire. Everybody knows it. It's one thing in the beginning. The whoosh factor is setting in. We all know that, too. And I'm asking that everybody do something today and get us where we're going. Now, when we're in trouble, and let's face it, folks, with $100,000 to go in 3 days, now we make sometimes $200,000 in a day of a regular fund drive. So we know we can do it. But here's what. If everybody gets on a phone right now, I'm going to do something that's special. We're going to do something special. WAMC is hosting a live broadcast of the Roundtable panel at the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio. Joe Donahue will host, of course. I'll be there. Rosemary Armeo will be there, investigative journalist. Communications consultant Teresa Bourgeois, Vera Carius Kelly, our wonderful comparative politics person who sets us straight, Judith Enck, the former EPA regional administrator, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson.
Rogerson.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Yes, of course. That's right.
Typo.
Yeah. No. No. My bad reading. Berkshire Eagle journalist Jen Smith, woo-hoo, right here with us right now, and of course the Edward Herr Hamilton Distinguished Professor of Computer Science at RPI.
Fran Berman will be there as well. Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh,
I'm so jealous.
Okay. So now, this is Thursday, July 11th. Write it in your book. Mm-hmm. And there are only 200 tickets, and when they're gone, they're gone. The doors will open at 8:15 a.m. for light continental breakfast.
Oh, nice.
Where you'll mingle with our panel and fellow WAMC members. The roundtable panel live is from 9 to 11 a.m.
on July 11th.
That's right. And there will not be physical tickets for this event.
Metaphysical tickets.
Your name will be on our will call list at the door of the event. And there are only 200 of them, and they'll go like crazy.
All right, so it's a $100
pledge? $100
pledge. For a ticket to this live panel. And if you've never been to a live roundtable panel over at the Linda, they get pretty raucous. And I have not actually been there for the breakfast, but I'm told the muffins are good. And so it's you have a little nosh, maybe a cup of coffee, 8:15. The show starts at 9.
Yeah.
And then it goes, this is extended, it'll go to 11.
Yes, and sometimes we actually have discussions in the room before the show actually starts, and people can ask questions about WAMC.
Terrific.
And we can do that. What's Ray Graff really like? That kind of thing.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah.
So this is a $100 pledge. It is July 11th, live roundtable panel. The goal here is to get this lockbox halfway to the end of the fun drive by Monday morning at 6 a.m. when Alan is here for the on-air drive.
Now, we need to get to 4:25 today to be on target.
Okay.
During this show. And Governor Cuomo's people called, and they wanted to come on today. And we said we can't. And we actually talked to the governor. We said we can't do it because we got to keeping the station alive. And he says he understood. Mm. And so he's going to be coming on at 10:30 this morning.
Oh, today?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's two in a row.
10:30, yeah. And I know Chris Churchill is thinking about writing a column about this, appearance. I have no idea why.
He had a great conversation yesterday with you and him.
He would. Well, we made every newspaper in New York State.
Did you know?
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable.
What about the Bethlehem Spotlight?
They even put us in the, they even put us in the Times Union. Incredible.
Really?
Not my name. They say, you know, Rex is
some host of a local radio program.
It is the roundtable panel, and remember, we're raising funds, WAMC.org, if you want to kick in on the lockbox.
Okay, just once more. Can you repeat what we're doing here?
Sure. It is, right now, and for a limited time, there are only, I believe, 200 not physical will call tickets for a live roundtable panel July 11th. That's a Thursday morning, 8:15 to 11 at the Linda. That's our performing arts studio. And Rosemary Arameo, Teresa Bourgeois, Vera Arcarius-Kelly, Judith Enck, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, Fran Berman, all there with Joe and Alan for a live panel. You could be there, too, a $100 pledge. It'll help us. Now, Alan has set the $425,000 mark by the end of today's panel. That's a tough nut to crack, Daddy-O.
Well, I hope somebody will call in and say, I challenge you. I'll give you this much or that much if you can make that $425,000, because we need to set that goal for a reason.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
No, I get it.
You see what I mean?
I've been working here 22 years. I get it.
Wait a second. You're not even 22 years old.
Yeah. The Supreme Court signaled Tuesday it's more open to state restrictions on abortion, upholding an Indiana law supported by abortion opponents that regulates the disposal of fetal remains. At the same time, the justices declined to take on an issue closer to the core of abortion rights, rejecting the state's appeal of a lower court ruling that blocked a ban on abortion based on gender, race, or disability. On Tuesday, two liberal justices dissented. The court allowed Indiana to enforce a requirement that abortion clinics either bury or cremate fetal remains following an abortion that reversed a ruling by the 7th U.S. Circuit Court that had blocked it. The justices said in an unsigned opinion that the case does not involve limits on abortion rights. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. Ginsburg said in a short solo opinion that she believes the issue does implicate a woman's right to have an abortion without undue interference from the state. Who wants firstsies?
Well, I mean, it's interesting the fact that it's just Indiana, and this is legislation that Mike Pence, our vice president, had lobbied very, very hard for. But I think the issue will bring up a lot of particular language. There's the undue burden clause that is constantly argued, and even more recent than Roe versus Wade, it's the Planned Parenthood of Southern Pennsylvania versus Governor Casey precedent, and that's always kind of allowed these laws to kind of stay in place, and I think that's what's being challenged right now. It's what you see in the writings on from the different justices on the case. I think it's also interesting. Clarence Thomas's case in eugenics.
Very interesting. Clarence Thomas, and of course he supports overturning Roe v. Wade, he said that, let me see if I have the quote here, the Indiana provision promotes a state's compelling interest in preventing abortion from becoming a tool of modern-day eugenics.
And wouldn't that be the same Clarence Thomas who was accused by Ms. Hill of sexual harassment, which all adds up if you think about it. This is definitely anti-woman, in my opinion.
Well, it's kind of a silly law anyways. I mean, because it doesn't do what Clarence Thomas suggests, because it just encourages people to lie about why they're having an abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't... If you're asked why you're having it and you know that you can't have it if you say a certain thing, then obviously people are just going to say something different.
Right, and you're not obligated in the first place to disclose that information.
Well, I think the law would ask you to, though, right?
So why would anybody? If you look at the entirety of what's going on with all of these abortions laws, what's really interesting is that they're chipping away in a really diverse set of ways. You know, the whole eugenics argument is about, okay, if you're having an abortion, you're adding to a controlled breeding, right? Mm-hmm. They're harassing doctors in Missouri. That's what the whole audit thing is all about. They're talking about clinics and whether clinics, can operate doing this. And it seems to me that the really interesting piece is, if one approach doesn't work, it's really multi-pronged. Mm.
I think that's very intentional. Yeah. Because they know that it's going to be really hard to overturn Supreme Court law, so chip away in the lower courts, essentially.
Yes, I think the interesting thing is the three biggies now, the ones that are really putting the 6 weeks, the get rid of all abortions, things like that. You know, they're all intended to go to the Supreme Court. And the real question here is the Supreme Court basically said, we're not ready to go to Roe versus Wade. So here it's only, they cut the baby in half, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really terrible use of...
No pun intended. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Well, true, but...
Well, I mean, there's... It comes to the question of what do you legislate? There's belief, there's fact, and there's interpretation of law. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons abortion debates are really difficult is we're not talking about sort of facts, because there's different facts about the evolution of a human being, but it really comes down to what people believe when that human being is autonomous. So you often get into my belief versus your belief, and who's right.
But then
there's interpretation of law, and many of these laws make it really, really difficult to interpret it in the context of this whole belief in fact.
And these outcomes disproportionately affect women and families, based on just income, access, job disruption. Even now the doctors themselves, their trade that they've been involved in and what they've trained for to do things more healthfully, to do minimum harm is being challenged now too.
Right. There's six states with only one abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. And, imagine if you live in North and South Dakota, two of the states, what do you do? And, if it's your own personal belief, it's your own choice. Mm-hmm. You come to that choice in a thoughtful way. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And if you're low income, it's really harder to get to some other place to do it.
And it drives different behaviors too. It changes the way you could travel to another state if you can afford it, or you can go online or other places to get medication that can also instigate that. It also confuses and it makes it more challenging because there's this sort of criminalized aspect of it. If you know, how do you know whether a woman has taken an abortion pill or is miscarrying? How do you qualify that?
Yeah. All right, we'll have to take a quick break here. Planned Parenthood said yesterday that Missouri's only abortion clinic could be closed by the end of the week. We will take that up after news from the BBC. A reminder, the WAMC lockbox is open at WAMC.org. We need your pledges now, and we'll be back with more of the panel. And that panel is Alan, Fran, Jen, Jim, Chris, Edward Hamilton. He might be here. We'll find out after the news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's Wednesday morning, 9:33. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel now in full throttle this morning. Fran Berman is here, and Jim Hendler, both from RPI, Jen Smith from the Berkshire Eagle, Chris Churchill from the Times Union, Alan Chartok from WAMC. You can join the fun by emailing us at panel@wamc.org. And I guess there's some breaking news here with regard to the lockbox.
We do. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to make it. We were, when we started here, we'll give you an update soon. We had in the lockbox 395, 853. We have to get to 425 today if we're going to stay on track. That is going to be difficult. But in order to help with that, we're doing a special WAMC live roundtable. If you've ever been to one of them, they're great. We only have 200 tickets. They always sell out. And don't be calling me later on asking me for tickets, because 200 is what we have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we have the fire marshal, if
right.
You know what I mean.
Yep, OSHA comes in and shuts the place down.
And then, so on that panel is Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, Vera Carias Kelly, Judith Enck, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson.
Rogerson.
And Jen Smith and Fran Berman, our wonderful Fran, who is here.
Are they going to let Alan on that panel? Jen.
What'd you say?
Are they going to let Alan?
Alan and Joe will be there moderating.
Alan and Joe, but what's interesting is everybody on the panel is a woman.
What
except for us.
Well.
And that's the way it should
all
be.
All the
right?
better.
Yeah, of course. I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's going past around. Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right. So.
I know what, I see what you're doing there. And it's not funny.
What's going on?
We are up to now. Okay, we're up to 396, 988, 397. Come on, folks. Let's go. Crashing through that 400,000. And if we have 200 seats, that's $100 each. That'd be $20,000 if we could do it right there. So if you want to come to that wonderful breakfast, it's going to be terrific.
It's a $100 pledge for
a seat
entrance, and it will be. You'll be on will call. Your name will be there. You show
will
your
go.
ID, you get in. Right?
We'll go. Yes, yeah. Of course. And there will not be physical tickets, as you say,
right,
Ray.
Sure.
You just check in, and somebody will be there, and they have a machine. It looks into your eyeballs and tells you.
Do they really? Like on James Bond?
No, I made that.
No?
I made that up just now.
Okay.
It's not far from the truth, Alan.
It's happening, right?
It's happening.
You just have to log in with Facebook.
Biometrics.
And you can
happening.
Go to WAMC.org and make your pledge now. We hope you do. We want to make 425K mark by the end of today's
not
panel.
Not want to. Have to.
And Governor Cuomo's on at 10:30, right?
10:30. He has to come on, and we're going to do that. He's
okay.
Got some follow-up from yesterday. People writing to me and say how proud they were that WAMC was in every newspaper you could name. The New York Post actually put my name in it.
Really?
Yeah. And
they spell it right?
Yeah, they
A-L-L-E-N.
They're fact checker.
Yeah. Well, the Chartok, what they always do wrong is they always leave out that last C, C-H-A-R-T-O, and they say talk is in TikTok.
Yeah.
But it's T-O-C-K.
Well, isn't talk with a C?
Talk is with a C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you spell your last name?
C-H-A-R-T-O-C-K.
It's a tough life.
Ray looks mystified.
Let's reset.
Listen, I don't want to go into this anymore.
Can we start over?
Yeah.
Is this live? No, let's just get the hell out.
Okay. So Rosemary, Teresa,
hopefully the government
Vera,
hopefully.
Judith, Libby, Sarah, Jen, and Fran, They all make up the Benny Goodman Quartet.
Yes.
And this is really great. And you will be happy with it. And I want you to come. So it's $100 each, and we'd love to have you with us.
You can call if you wish. If you're not an online person, and some people still are not, and that's fine. That's good.
You could 1-800-323-9262. Let me say that again.
Yes.
1-800-323-9262, Lewis Aluminum.
And why are we doing this? Because our fund drive starts on Monday.
And we're $100 down, $100,000 down.
We would like to get to the halfway point. It's a $1 million drive.
Not like to, have to.
We have to get to the halfway point by Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So what we do now, you know, we try to get there, and then we'll shorten that drive.
Okay, so here's what. I just got handed this. Everybody saw me in the room. Nobody would say it wasn't so. $5,000 from Cindy and Ollie of Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, if we can make this. $5,000 if we can make this.
If we make $425 by the end of the show today.
$425, yes.
Okay.
And now we're at $396. That means we need about $29,000.
Correct.
And that means if everybody gets on a phone, we'll get an extra $5,000, and that will bring us closer and closer to where we need to be.
All right. And WAMC.org, or you can call 800-323-9262. It's the Roundtable Panel. Fran Berman is here, Jen Smith, Jim Hendler, Chris Churchill, and Alan Shartok. You can join us by emailing panel@WAMC.org.
Now, remember, $5,000. Try to put $5,000 in 20s in your wallet. You can't do it. Cindy and Ollie of Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, will come up with a five, what do you say, five big ones?
Five large.
Five large.
Yeah.
Five large. Yeah. This is very generous. Really,
it really is.
Okay,
very nice.
And you know, Joe is capable of knowing exactly where things are going in terms of the money, but he's not here now.
So what do you mean?
So in other words, he could look in his magic machine. And
on the computer.
If anybody gives it a little bit more, he can give a total. So now we have to have Amber coming in with the rolling total.
So in other words, what you're saying is I'm a Luddite and I use paper instead of computers when I do the show.
Well, let me see this. There's nobody I admire more than you.
Okay.
No one.
All right.
There's no funnier person that I know.
I don't use a computer when I do the show. I'd like to stay in the moment.
You are what we call a real heavyweight here at WAMC.
I don't know why I want to stay in the moment.
Be here now.
Okay. Missouri's only abortion clinic could be closed by the end of the week because the state is threatening to not renew its license, Planned Parenthood officials said Tuesday. Planned Parenthood officials said in a teleconference that the current license for the St. Louis facility expires on Friday. If it isn't removed, the organization said, Missouri would become the first state without a functioning abortion clinic since Roe v. Wade in 1973. According to the lawsuit filed by Planned Parenthood to try to ensure continued abortion services in St. Louis, the state health department visited the clinic in April to investigate a patient complaint. Planned Parenthood said the agency has not specified the complaint, but said its subsequent investigation has identified a large number of potential deficient practices requiring explanation by the physicians directly involved in patient care. So I guess, Fran, we'll throw this to you. You had mentioned sort of chipping away at things.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a way of sort of harassing the people that are doing all of that very good work. Planned Parenthood is an incredibly important organization. It's important for women's health. Abortion is one, but not the only thing that they do. All of the doctors and healthcare professionals that work at Planned Parenthood are really wonderful, and they're there for the public good. For them to be, as part of this audit, for them to be asking the doctors and healthcare professionals to be talking to them and not taking sort of criminal repercussions off the table makes it very, very dangerous. And, you know, to me, this is just sort of another way of getting at the abortion issue, this time, by harassing the people who are performing it in a safe way.
I know Jim Hendler wants to comment, but devil's advocate here. What if the complaint and the investigation, which found potential deficiencies, is accurate?
Well, they apparently are already addressing some of the deficiencies, right?
Some of the so-called deficiencies.
So-called deficiencies,
I would admit they were deficiencies, Yeah,
and I don't have a complete list of that. Did any of you hear what the complete list was?
I think that's part of the problem here, is that Planned Parenthood doesn't know what all of the investigation results were.
And I think that shouldn't they know if there's an audit that says fix some things if they don't know what to fix?
I wanted to say two things. Number one, we have gone crashing through the $400,000
mark. Oh, tremendous. Yes. Tremendous.
So things are really on the move. The tickets are going fast for the special Linda event. And what date is that, Linda event?
Thanks, Alan. Yeah. It's July 11th. It's a Thursday morning, 8:15 for a continental breakfast, and then the show starts at 9. It'll go to 11. And
you know that's National Slurpee Day, right?
National what?
7-Eleven, National Slurpee Day.
Of course. Ooh.
Just saying.
Yeah.
The fact that you know that is frightening.
Fran knows everything. She's a member of the American Association.
I know
of
all the random
scientists.
Stuff you're not interested in.
Fran is the smartest among us. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262, or WAMC.org. We're doing it here. It's going, and it's going fast. So everybody into the pool.
Okay. Jim Handler, you wanted to make a comment.
So before we get to the letters, I just wanted to mention, you know, we had mentioned before the eugenics comment by
Clarence Thomas. Yep, Justice Clarence Thomas.
I'm just having trouble getting
that's
right
fine. A little phlegm.
But,
Great Expectations.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. But what's interesting is that there was an article just recently in the American Journal of Public Health, which actually looked at infant mortality in the U.S. and compared the states which accepted the Medicaid expansion versus those that didn't. You can get through a lot of things. Infant mortality obviously was much higher in the states that did not accept the Medicaid expansion. And among African Americans, it was more than twice. So the decline, so it went down significantly in the states that accepted the Medicaid extension, significantly more than the states that didn't, particularly among African American women. So, you know, there's this old saying that, you know, the Republicans believe that birth begins, that life begins at conception and ends at birth. And, you know, here's
Ray's got a puzzle.
No, he just said life begins at conception and ends at birth.
That's what he meant. Right.
He knew what he was talking about.
In other words, what happens when the baby comes out, we don't give a damn anymore. Right. We're not going to support the baby.
That's right. Republicans didn't care anymore. But here you have where, you know, Republican governors who are the same exact ones fighting abortion are the ones who refuse to help the babies.
I want to interrupt. I have to interrupt for a second.
There's breaking news out there.
Yeah, yes. That's what I was going to talk about.
The journal's in the corner itching, and we have our press releases up.
Who's got the best breaking news radio voice?
On a tag team. Live at 11 a.m.
Somebody say it.
Mueller is apparently going to be making a special statement today at 11 a.m. We don't know a lot of information about it right now, but it's supposed to be specifically in regards to the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
Is a Department of Justice press release.
But they're also saying, which is interesting, again, being the reporters in the room, that there will be no Q&A afterwards, although we'll surely try our darndest to get some statement. And I'm sure everyone's rushing to have other sources ready to comment on this. But this is huge.
And it's also,
well, maybe
it's
huge.
Also,
now, wait. We've seen a lot of breathless headlines on certain TV networks.
Yeah, maybe nothing, but it is unusual that he's making. Yeah.
But there's been so much speculation.
And he's not independent now, is that correct?
Exactly.
Yes. So the question is, you know, under what
somebody
auspices?
Had to give it the okay.
Yeah, yes. Who right. gave the okay?
So, I mean, if he's got a narrow window to make a comment or a statement, how much of an impact will that make?
Well, once he gets up there, though, he can say whatever he wants to say.
And it's coming out of the Justice Department. That's a clue right there, because we know who runs the Justice Department, and we know that he'll be under some constraints. So if they're putting it out that he's going to make that statement, that makes me a little apprehensive.
All right. Now, I would ask the panelists to speak one at a time, or I'll be asking you to leave. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get to letters. Good. You first. Panel at WAMC.org is the email address. We'll be back and get to the letters in a moment. Welcome back to
Stop, everybody.
I'm the fill-in host, and why can't everybody stop talking when the light is on? Let's rejoin the show, and then you can start talking. You're irritating me. You're all irritating me today. It's the roundtable.
And vice versa.
Alan Chartok is here. Fran Berman, Jen Smith, Jim Hendler, and Chris Churchill. The email address is panel@wamc.org. We have a fun drive going on. And we have letters to read, so we hand it over to Alan.
Okay, but before we do, let's remember there are a couple of things going on. Cindy and Ollie of Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, I just received this a couple of seconds ago, have put up a $5,000 challenge if we could do this. And we need to get to... We need to get to
425,000.
425,000, and we've just received word that we're at 404.
All right.
So that means we now need about $21,000, and we need it before 10:30.
And we can do that.
We can do it, and we need everybody to get on board. Now, if you want, you can get for $100 each tickets to the live roundtable. Joe Donahue will be the moderator, and an incredible Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, Vera Carias Kelly, Judith Ink, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson.
Rogerson, yes.
and Jen Smith, our wonderful Jen Smith, and Fran Berman, who are both here right now. Let's get it done, folks. We can get to that 425, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to take everybody doing something. If you got 1,000, put 1,000. And I say put 1,000 in. That's $3 a day. That would be great. So,
and that would then theoretically entitle you to 10 tickets to the event. It's a $100 pledge to go to this special roundtable panel.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's live at the Linda Thursday, July 11th. 8:15 starts the Continental Breakfast. Will there be Bloody Marys at this?
I don't believe so. Yeah.
And then 9 o'clock is the show. It's a special two-hour roundtable panel live from the Linda. It'll be 9 to 11 is the time.
Yeah. You know, that $3 a day is less than a fancy Starbucks. You can do that.
Yes, that's
you
right.
You can do WAMC.
Not only that, Fran, but think about it. You come to WAMC anytime during the day, anytime during the night. If your knees are shaky, you're up in the middle of the night, you know, if you're worrying, there we are, your friend. You've got a friend, said James Taylor. And that's it. So what else?
How do people pledge?
What'd you say?
How do people make a pledge?
They go to WAMC.org.
Right.
Or you go to 1-800-323-9262. I say 1-800-323-9262.
And that's fine. We have people waiting to answer the
volunteers.
Calls. Even though their fund drive really doesn't begin until Monday.
No.
This is to feed that lockbox. And if we get halfway through the lockbox to the $500,000 point by Monday morning,
yes,
it could be a day drive, could be a day and a half, and then we'll be back to... regular program.
We can. Look, folks, you know, kidding around is fine, but in the end, we all know what this is about. Will people eventually get tired of putting in? Or can the station go away? I can prove to you that this is a serious issue. Look who the President of the United States is right now. 1-800-323-9262.
Okay, and we have until about 10:30 to raise... $425,000 to get to the $425,000 point. We're making good progress, but we need everybody's help right now. Hey, we have some letters.
Oh, we do. And yeah. But before we do, we've had a little internal discussion here.
Uh-huh. I noticed.
Yes. And the question is, why is Mueller being announced by the Justice Department, Mr. Barr is in charge of that, as doing a special statement he's going to read.
At 11 a.m.
Well, what makes me nervous is that it's from the Justice Department and that they're in charge. And so that makes me nervous. Now, I'm just speculating. It's doubtful if he was really going to throw over the traces that he would be coming from the Justice Department with their approval. What do you mean, throw over the traces? In other words, right now he's a member of the Justice Department. Right now he's a member of the Justice Department, right? He's being paid by them. And they call the tune. If he's doing it under their auspices and Barr, and we know what kind of person he is and what he's been doing, that makes me a little nervous.
Alan, the announcement just said that the White House didn't know till last night. So that kind of adds a little wrinkle to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, so you make a very good point.
It's mystifying.
As soon as you, yeah. as soon as you say wrinkle, I'm up over, you know, 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock, and I see all these ads for making one's wrinkles go away.
Oh, yeah?
For the insomniacs.
Yeah. Wrinkles go away.
So what about those letters?
Maybe we should go to the letters, yeah. Let me hand you the letters. Okay.
Thank you for that. Okay. Jeannie says, abortion bills. These bills are not about abortion. If they were, they'd advocate to be like the Netherlands, where the lowest abortion rate in the world exists. The Netherlands has comprehensive sex education, easy access to birth control, and abortion on demand, in capital letters. These laws are not about abortion. They are about hurting women. And that's from Jeannie. And then we heard from William, who said, population control through 4 explanation points. Though 3. The earth is already overpopulated. There should be no question as to why or if a woman wants an abortion. The fact that she doesn't want a child should be enough. It is so frustrating, says William. And Bob from Northampton says, good morning, panel. I believe the current attack on choice exists only to shore up support for Trump and the Republican Congress going into 2020. The moment Roe v. Wade is overturned, the Republican Party loses a significant amount of their base, and they know that. And that's Bob from Northampton. I saw a news story this morning that Trump's numbers are up just a little bit.
Huh.
His polling numbers.
The email address here is panel at WAMC.org. Democrats accuse Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, of hypocrisy on Tuesday
after
he said Republicans would confirm a justice to the Supreme Court if a seat opened up amid the election campaign in 2020, even after denying President Obama a similar chance in 2016. The senator made the remarks at a Chamber of Commerce event in Kentucky after an audience member asked what some Senate Republicans would do if a Supreme Court justice died next year. Oh, we'd fill it, he responded with a grin, prompting laughter from the audience.
I watched the smirk on his face. I watched him make that announcement. I've moved him up into the 3 worst people in the world category.
He was in the top 5. Yeah. Obviously, yeah.
He was in the top 5.
I was going to ask if that put him up into your top 3.
He has now replaced Lindsey Graham, who used to be number 3.
Yeah.
I just can't figure out why this is news. He's just being consistent with what he's always done. You know, he has a set of beliefs. It doesn't have much good with the public good. It has to do with power. It has to do with influence. We're done. Why is this news?
Well, it's news because it is a study in chutzpah and hypocrisy, and how bad that really is. I mean, this guy, made an argument. We have it on tape, again and again, that you can't appoint a justice during a presidential election, and now he's reversing himself. So that's news. You know, dog bites man. Not such a man bites dog. You got quite a story.
Yeah.
Right, Jen?
Sure. I mean, I think it'll be interesting, you know, how the Democrats choose to respond and whether they'll respond on a united front about
that.
Oh,
they will. They will.
Well, what can they do, though? I mean, how do they respond exactly? You know, I mean, you have to win the Senate back, really.
They should yell and scream.
Well, I mean, there's a slight difference in the situation from 2016 to 2020, if it were to happen. One, we have...
knock on wood, it won't.
We knew we were going to have another president in 2016, regardless of which party that president was from. We are not so sure about that right now. Also, Democrats held the White House while Republicans controlled the Senate in 2016. Republicans hold president and Senate now, so slightly different. Although the last time, according to the New York Times, last time a Republican-led Senate confirmed a nominee by a Democratic president, 1895. So it's been a while.
So switch the Senate, guys. Vote, vote, vote.
Now you can't do that advocacy on the radio, Jim Hendler.
Sorry, I was just saying one can go out and vote. Whether you switch the Senate or not is up to you.
Yeah, every
in New York, there's not much we can do about it in one direction. But.
Chris Churchill, you've been pretty quiet.
He has been.
Nodding off? What's up with that?
I'm just listening, just taking it all in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? Don't forget, before we go to news, we have a lockbox challenge.
Boy, do we ever.
Could you recapitulate that before we go to news?
We have a challenge. Cindy and Ollie of Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, very exciting and very generous, have said, okay, $5,000, $5,000 if we can do it. And right now, we're not going to do it. We're getting closer. We've gone crashing through the $400,000 mark. I'm waiting for Amber to come in or Dina and give us the latest number so we can do that. But we need everybody on a phone now, and we can make it. We did it yesterday in remarkable fashion. People came out of everywhere help us make it. $5,000 extra. We can do it. We need your help. 1-800-323-9262. Dear friends, feel the passion. 1-800-323-9262. We can't do it without you. It's that simple. We cannot do it without you. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. Go, 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 go.
Alan Chartok's on the panel today. Fran Berman, Jen Smith, Jim Hendler, Chris Churchill, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. And we'll take a break for news and then more roundtable panel at 10:30. We have Governor Cuomo being on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the roundtable on a Wednesday morning. 10:06 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the roundtable panel today. Jen Smith is here from the Berkshire Eagle. Times Union columnist Chris Churchill is here. RPI's Fran Berman and Jim Hendler are here. And WAMC's Alan Chartok as well. You can join the fun, if you call it that, by emailing us at panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. That's the email address. And then Alan, pressing business, and then we'll get down to more topics on the show.
You may be the funniest man I know.
Why?
I mean that. You're terrific. You know, you go along, you're saying something, blah, 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 and then you throw in a zinger
what?
In the middle of your statement.
I'm not
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, you're not sure, right? Yeah.
So okay. Anyway, what's going on?
Okay, first of all, as you know, we have to make 425, and if we can, we will get from Cindy and Ollie of Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, $5,000. Five large, as
wow.
you say.
Wow. Where is Chestnut Hill?
It's right up there. And how do you stand on it? I stand fine.
It's in the Boston area.
It's right outside of Boston. It's in Newton, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Newton, where everybody eats figs. So, yes, right. But in any case, we're up to 409,325. The money is coming in. We now need what?
About $15,500 by 10/29.
Yeah, yeah. By 409, that's a remarkable. We're really doing well.
Yep.
Everybody do something. Call your mother, call your brother, call your father. Get them to do something.
And you can pledge by going to our website, WAMC.org. You help feed the lockbox, WAMC.org, or you can call.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262.
Don't forget we have a special incentive this morning, and only this morning.
Tell us what it is, Ray.
We have, for a $100 pledge, a single ticket with a breakfast, a roundtable panel, which is live at the Linda, Thursday, July 11th. I'm being told, breaking news, that's Slurpee Day, 7-Eleven.
National Slurpee Day.
But you'll arrive at 8:15. You'll have a continental breakfast. The show starts at 9. It's a two-hour roundtable panel. Goes from 9 to 11, live with Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, Vera Akarius-Kelly, Judith Enck, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, and Fran Berman. It's all there for you. There may be some hobnobbing with the panel.
Oh, yeah.
Although Fran is very standoffish.
But what usually happens is...
I will hobnob with any of you.
Okay.
What usually happens is Joe says you have a few minutes. Does anybody have a question to ask?
Yeah.
And sometimes those questions are very nice. Sometimes they're not so nice.
So July 11th is National Cheer Up the Lonely Day.
Oh.
National Blueberry Muffin Day. So I hope they're going to have blueberry muffins.
Have
yeah.
All American Pet Photo Day. National Mojito Day, so afterwards, and National 7-Eleven Slurpee Day.
I love a mojito. We should have mojitos at the panel.
It's going to be a party, people.
Mojitos,
Slurpees,
that would be pretty good.
We'll all be flying high.
Yeah, now, have you ever had a mojito?
No.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't even know what it is.
It's great. Rum and lime and...
Mint.
Mint. It's delicious.
I see.
Excellent for breakfast on July 11th.
Right you are, Fran. Fran, come on over about 7:45. We'll have some mojitos.
And
mojitos. Very interesting radio.
It'll make even more sense than I do.
We have
now.
Restrooms both in the basement and on the first floor.
All right, and that's at the Linda on July 11th. If you want to go, these are will call, so you just make your pledge for $100 or more and give us your name, and you will be on will call. There are only 200 of these. Linda is a beautiful place to see a show of whatever kind, music or talk or whatever. but it's intimate. It's small. 200 is the limit, so
really
you got to do it fast.
Great acoustic.
And by the way, they're going fast. They really are going fast. As you all know, because people have been locked out of these events before, the Linda is intimate. That's what it is.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me that if Mackenzie Bezos would just get on the horn,
yes,
we wouldn't have to have a fun drive.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Given that she's going to give away, she's joined the, what is it called?
The Giving Pledge.
The Giving Pledge, yeah. So she's going to give away, and she's only, what, $36 billion, I think it's.
So she's going to give away half of that. Now, it's unclear whether it'll be before or after she's dead. I mean, that's part of the pledge. You got an option. Now, later.
She's
well, but Mackenzie, if you're listening, Mackenzie, WAMC.org.
Okay, let me just interrupt to say that we are now up to 412-340. And we need 425 in order to get there. So that means, Ray, do your arithmetic.
I'm sorry, well, I wasn't listening. Say it again.
Fran, we need 425 to go.
We need $13,000 more, essentially.
$13,000
more. $12,660.
Yeah, I hate being around smart people.
Right.
Okay, so...
Good thing that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, not around here.
No, not around here. Okay, so the roundtable panel live. If you want to go, Mackenzie Bezos, give us a call. It'll cost you about $100 million. You know, it's
funny. Think about that. If you had $1 billion,
yeah,
right? Let's say somebody gave you $1 billion right now. Could you really spend it? I mean, for the rest of your life, could you spend $1 billion? That's a lot of money.
I think you could. Sure.
That's a lot of money. You could buy a yacht, of course. You have to.
An airplane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even so,
right.
I mean, the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah,
right.
But what would you do for the world?
Well, of
interestingly,
course
you're right. Now, Mackenzie Bezos, she got a 4% stake, right? That's $36 billion.
Yeah.
Imagine being Jeff Bezos, who has way more, and he hasn't made this pledge, by the way.
And by the way, he said he was very proud of her. I thought it was almost condescending that this is his divorcing wife. He was very proud of her that she had done this.
I thought it was great. I thought he was supportive. I thought he was
collaborative.
No, imagine if Amazon just paid their employees a little bit better. They might only have $34 billion.
And that's the rub when I see these stories is like, you know, it's,
give it back to the people you took it from.
Yeah. Instead they give it back to other wealthy people. If you look at Warren Buffett, who was the, you know, kind of one of the leading, you know, rally criers to join the Giving Pledge, if you look at where his wealth is going, it's going back to the Gates Foundation. So it's going into other wealthy people's funds.
Well, except they do important work.
It's important in some regards, but if you look at the research on how some of these funds are invested, not all of their projects do what they intended to do. You know, again, Bill Melinda Gates is something I follow the research on it really closely because they invest a lot in education. But, you know, there's a study that came out the other year where they made, a $200 million investment into teacher effectiveness, and that the reports and the research shows that they did create a solid metric system, but it didn't improve the outcomes and effectiveness of teachers, and it didn't improve the outcomes in children's lives. And that's $200 million go into infrastructure. It could go into a lot more that
there's no guarantee.
Well, the Bezos is just to be fair.
Some money, yeah. And there's just no guarantee. I'm on the board of the Sloan Foundation, and these guys. And they're wonderful. And these guys invest in research and science and economics and public understanding of science. And, you know, they're really thoughtful, as I'm sure these other foundations are, about where to put the money. But there's no guarantee you're going to get the impact that you think might happen.
Mm. Well, I think, I question whether it raises a false sense of hope or security. I mean, it's with a lot of programs, especially around this region, rely on grants and private funds to support their programs. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't solve the social problems that we're hoped for, what other hope is?
Well,
is
to be
there?
Fair, but again, to be fair to the Bezoses, they just last year in 2018 they gave $2 billion to start preschools, to start programs for homeless. I mean, they have given back.
Now, I think they've committed $2 billion. I think only $100 million that they've actually
so far.
Given.
Yeah, they committed. They pledged $2 billion. Yeah. It's a new fund to start preschools, help homeless. There's a lot of details.
Let me interrupt. Yeah. I'm sorry to do this to all of you because you're making so much sense.
We're finally arguing about something.
But we are up to 416. 016. That's $416,000.
A little less than 9,000 to go.
9,000 to go, and we only have 15 minutes to do it in. Mm-hmm. So everybody, do everything you can now. And how much did you say we need there, Ray?
Well, what did you say we had?
416.
Yeah, so about $9,000 to go to make the 425, and then we'll get what, $5,000 from. Cindy and Ollie.
Yeah, Cindy and Ollie.
Of Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Which is very nice.
Up 5,000.
There on the
hill, yep.
So that's great.
1-800-323-9262. Come on, everybody. 1-800-323-9262. 416, it's close. Water everywhere, but not a thing to drink.
Facebook's former security chief is disagreeing with calls to break up the social network. Alex Stamos believes the way to fix the problem is for Mark Zuckerberg to step aside as CEO. Now, earlier in the month, Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes and other critics contended that the government regulators should require Facebook to spin off popular services such as Instagram and WhatsApp. And I know that Fran and Jim wanted to weigh in on this.
I'll start. Fran's pointing at me, making funny faces. I actually am in favor of seeing them broken up. I mean, this is a monopoly in every way, shape, or form. There's been a lot of... and with due respect to my friends who work there, because I know quite a lot of former students. But, you know, the quality of service they offer has been evaluated by a number of different things and said could be significantly better if they were focused on in a competitive world. They have everything that looks like it starts to get to the point, like Instagram was looking like it could grow into some kind of competitor. So they bought it, and now they keep it under their control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is the traditional behavior of monopolies, and unfortunately this government is
Wouldn't it make more sense to not let them buy the next competitor rather than breaking them up now? Because, I mean, that's one of the things that with technology, these things, we don't know what's going to be the social media platform in 5 years that could be, you know, the rival to them.
I mean, you know, the answer is yes, with the exception that they've got 2 billion users. Okay, so that's... you know, one out of every four people on Earth, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking staggering numbers. Now, again, these may not be unique. But with that kind of penetration, I mean, you know, we've broken up companies in the U.S. that had significantly less market share than Google, Microsoft, et cetera, and they have no peer competitors. Google put most of its peer competitors out of business.
So let me ask Fran, because she is our expert on the use of this data. Let me ask you what the dangers are here. First of all, you get one or two or three people, and we know about that, owning the world. But are they using it against us?
Well, I agree with Jim. I think it's a really good idea that that antitrust is used. But I think we should not pretend to ourselves, and this goes to the dangers, Alan, that this is a substitute for real data privacy legislation.
Yes, here.
And it's not a substitute for accountability. So if you have more companies and those companies have to compete with one another, that's fine. But in general, we need somebody whose interest is the public good. If you're in the private sector, whether you're a giant company or a monopoly or a small company, your focus is profit. And if you're in the government, your focus is supposed to be the public good. And I've said before, I think we need something akin to an OSHA for the internet. Mm. What can we do? What kinds of laws and legislation do we need to put into place?
What do you got in mind?
To protect us? So if we had real laws about consumer data privacy, who gets to control the data, who has access to the data, under what circumstances, that is a good pairing with antitrust legislation that creates more competition.
Okay, I got it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we only have 11 minutes to go. We have now raised $419,248 out of the $425. Who does the math for me? 419.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's pretty good. Between 5 and 6,000.
6,000
to
get there. And we only have 11 minutes to do it, and that's going to be very, very hard.
We can do it.
Anything you can do. Thank you, Fran. You are so right as always.
Sometimes you want, prefer you say we can't do it. So just, you can always play at that angle as
okay,
well.
Okay, you can't do it. No. Okay, let's.
And where else can you hear such an accessible understanding of data privacy and how it works? She's great.
You know, Jim, the.
I try to explain it. My students fall asleep. Fran's explained it. They're up there applauding.
The article that you were passing around, the op-ed from the New York Times about all the stuff, all the data that heads out of your iPhone in the middle of the night.
So I've actually written a lot of papers about what tracks. So if you go to a website, you see ads showing up. There's live auctions going on. There's companies sharing your data very rapidly, and you can actually see them. So you go to a standard web page. I'm happy to say if you go to the WAMC website, I do know that, the WAMC website, you will actually not find trackers there except for the normal usage trackers. But you go to anything that sells you anything.
Buy shoes, New York Times.
32 different companies.
New
York Times, 18. Things like that. And those are just the large ones. Then they can share data with other people. Somebody left a tracker on their iPhone overnight. Mm-hmm. 5,400 times it shared data with some entity. Now, some of that's a little bit misleading. So, for example, Yelp was one they reported got a lot. But if I set my phone to let Yelp know where I am so that when I click on it and say, you know, show things near me, right, it has to know where I am, so that gets shared periodically. But when you start putting that data together, when you start keeping track of it, it's stunning what you can find
out.
What
if they're wrong?
It is stunning, and you can reduce the impact on you by being very judicious about your settings. But there's a lot of stuff you have zero control over.
Right, and iPhone is better than many other platforms. They really try to take privacy seriously within the context of their advertising rules. So, again, it's the amount of data about you that is out there, that is shared, that is put together in different ways.
But that's why the government's so important, because if a private company puts the public welfare before their own profitability, they may be in danger of going out of business in an extreme situation. Mm-hmm. But if the government makes everybody protect your privacy, provide more control, put limitations on data brokers and selling it, you know, then everybody's sort of playing by a set of rules that are more advantageous to the public. Mm-hmm. That's the government's job. I feel really strongly about it.
And so how do we know, what do we know about Trump and his administration and all of this?
So Trump seems to, Obama was a real techie guy. Trump seems not to be a techie guy at all. He seems, other than his, love affair with Twitter, he seems not to really care about what's going on. He does care about 5G. So somebody's told him that 5G is a big deal.
We'll make Twitter.
And so he's using that as a way to interact with China and sort of bolster us. Someone told him that artificial intelligence is a big deal. And so he's done some stuff about that. But none of that stuff is original. He doesn't seem to really care.
Well, the other thing is this administration is not only not enforcing antitrust, but, for example, there's been a recent telephone company merger proposed. There's been lots of studies that said if you really want competition, people should have at least four major carriers in the U.S. Trump White House has just approved taking that down to three. Again, they really don't care so much about this.
It's not a priority issue at all.
It's not a priority. Well, and also because who makes the money off of these things, right? This is not an administration that has showed a tendency to offend the wealthy.
Ladies and gentlemen, 420-813 is now in.
No kidding.
I'm so sorry. It's 423-300.
Oh.
That means we need $2,000, basically, to get to the 425, in which case Cindy and Ollie will come through of Chestnut Hill.
Chris, I think it's up to you to take it home. give us some exciting stuff about local politics.
We have until 10:29 to do this. And remember, just for a limited time, and I guess they're going very quickly.
Limited time only.
$100 pledge will get you in to see the roundtable panel live at the Linda on Thursday, July 11th. It's an 8:15 call for Continental Breakfast. What is a Continental Breakfast?
You do the Continental.
Do you? Mm-hmm.
Better be blueberry muffins.
So it's muffins and what do you get? Granola bars
mojitos.
And
some
mojitos. Okay. So it's unclear then. No one really knows. And then the roundtable panel is from 9 to 11. It's a 2-hour broadcast live from the Linda, Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, Vera Acarius Kelly, Judith Ank, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, Fran Berman, all there with Alan and Joe, and $100 pledge will get you there.
So talking seriously for a second, I know we're not always
doing
that here.
Because we were just joking around before.
But I was going to say, I've actually, by the luck of being on this show, have met all of these people now.
Yeah.
This is the smartest group of people you will hear when it comes to politics, science, how things affect each other. This is a great group. Meeting Rosemary made my year. I have a photo.
I am so in awe of the people on that list. I mean, I've gotten to know them a little bit, some of them, and they're really amazing, including Jen sitting right next to me.
Why, thanks, Fran.
424.
I second that notion.
$400 will do it.
$400 will do it.
Really?
Because we're worth it.
And you know, if we get that $400 before 10:28, maybe Chris Churchill will say something for you. Yeah, quiet, man.
I've said a few things.
You sleeping it off or what?
No, he said a few things.
I've said a few things.
Yeah.
But I understand.
Stuff
it's tough.
And things.
To get the word in edgewise around here at
right,
times.
Right. I just don't want to be skewered in a Chris column somewhere.
Oh, speaking of being skewered, you'll be on with Governor Cuomo in about 4 minutes.
In about 4 minutes, I'll be on with Governor Cuomo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you missed yesterday's interaction between Alan and the governor, it was wonderful. So listen today. It'll be great. Maybe he'll announce something even better than that.
I hope he's not mad at me just because I said, why should anybody pay $25,000 for a ticket to come into
a fundraiser?
And he said, anybody ever suggest to me they're going to get something back for that, I'll put them right on their keister, he said.
Yeah.
Kick them right in their keister.
Right.
He actually used the word keister.
Well, actually, I think
Alan, you used,
Alan
the, word
used the word keister, and that got Cuomo laughing pretty hard. Yeah. And then he made some Brooklyn jokes about that.
I think he said Heine, didn't he, or Heine Bud or something like Heine, that?
Yeah. Well, maybe there'll be more of this coming up at 10:30. I don't know.
There was a Fanny reference, I remember.
I believe that's going to be the first question that Alan asked the governor today.
I was really excited to talk about the education plan.
Yeah. Well, you could do that as well. As long as you can work the word Fanny. I think you're fine, really.
Got to give the people what they want.
Good heavens. All right, where are we?
So wait. So wait a second. So Cindy and Ollie are going to give us, if we can just get that $400, Cindy and Ollie are going to give us
$5,000. We have two minutes.
Oh, boy. My heart palpitations are starting again.
Yes. It's been that way for years.
It just takes a couple.
Still continues to beat,
however. To this wonderful
heart.
Show.
Are you sure?
Well, no, I'm not sure. Remember, the fun drive starts on Monday morning, 6 a.m. Alan will be
with you
doing his thing,
looking at you.
I'll be having donuts while you speak. That's
chocolate donuts.
That's how we do the
what
thing.
What you get?
And the goal here with the whole lockbox is to get halfway through the drive before we even begin, and then theoretically you do it in one day or a day and a half, and then we're back to regular programming.
And Mueller's about to make big news to speak on Russia at 11 a.m.
So if you want a day planner, stick around for Alan and the governor coming up at 10:30, and then they'll be done, and then you'll listen to Mueller, which that's a day's entertainment right there.
Yeah. Well, that's quite something here on WAMC, and where else are you going to get all of that?
Yeah. We are. Ian Pickus, our news director, says we will have
Ian Pickus.
The Mueller thing at 11, so stay with us all morning long. All right, so have we made it? Have we not made it?
I don't know.
We have 45 seconds, and then we have to leave.
Okay. We are getting last-minute call. We're getting a last-minute call. Okay. 1-800-323-9262.
Listen, we have
as long as you're on the phone, it counts.
Mike Bowen says we got to be done at 29, so you tell me. Are we going to make it?
Well, as Ronald Reagan would say, well.
All right. Well, while you're counting, I'm going to thank Fran Berman, Jen Smith, Jim Hendler, the very, very quiet Chris Churchill, and Alan Chartok. And
have a great day, everyone.
I like Chris Churchill, but he could be tough.
10,
great
9,
columns, read his column.
8,
thank you very much.
And we have made it. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Yeah. We'll be back.